Okay, so I have 2 extra minutes. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn in the New Testament to Mark chapter 10. Now, here at Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach, we strongly encourage everyone to read the Bible for themselves, and we encourage everyone to develop a habit of reading the Bible each and every day. And for those who do read the Bible each and every day, the passages become familiar as you've gone through the Bible week after week, month after month, year after year, right? Some of the passages seem to be really, really familiar. And that's a good thing. I'm not going to stand here tonight and try to show us anything different in a very familiar passage. Sometimes familiarity helps us to grasp a topic a little bit better. Certainly, familiarity gives us comfort. And the Lord wants us to know that He is our comforter. He wants us to be comforted. So find the end of chapter 10 in the book of Mark. Find the end of chapter 10 because we're going to begin at verse 46. And I know some of you like to know what the title of the message is. I have a very long title for you. We're going to call this The Healing of Blind Bartimaeus and the Lessons We Learn. The Healing of Blind Bartimaeus and the Lessons We Learn. Now, if you would like a shorter title, you can go with this. You can go with Jesus is Calling You. Father, thank you for letting us have your word, your scripture, your spoken word, your written word. You have written it down. You have given it to us. You have placed it in our hands. You have preserved your word for many, many centuries so that we here tonight can have your word in our hand. We thank you, Father, that you want us to know who you are. We're thankful, Father, that you want us to let you work and develop in us. We're thankful, Father, that you ask, what can you do for us? Wow, that is too amazing. That the Almighty God, the Lord God Omnipotent, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, would look upon man and say, what would you have me to do for you? Well, Father, what we ask you to do for us tonight is pour out your spirit. Open our understanding of Scripture. Draw us closer to you. Even though this passage may be familiar to a number of us, Lord, we still love that familiarity. We love that intimacy that you allow us to have. So reveal yourself tonight, Lord, and let us all have a personal encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's begin Mark chapter 10. At verse 46, it says, Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I love this section of scripture. Not only do I love this passage here having to do with blind Bartimaeus, but as I hope to have enough time to be able to cover, I love this entire chapter, chapter 10. Most people probably have a favorite section of Scripture, maybe a singular verse, maybe a chapter, maybe an entire book. I'm very hard-pressed to tell you that I have a singular favorite. I have so many favorites. Like, I love the book of John, but I'm not kidding. I really, really love this section of Scripture about blind Bartimaeus. So let's just walk through this verse by verse. Let's go back to verse 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho." Let me pause here and explain to you who the they is that's right here, in case you didn't catch it when we read the whole passage. The they is Jesus and his 12 disciples. And along with them is a multitude. They are in the process of going to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. It is the Passover. Passover is about 10 days away, give or take. I mean, I don't have an accurate clock or anything like that, but it seems as though Passover is about 10 days away at this point. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the specific intent of being captured, being tortured, and dying on a cross, and then 3 days later, resurrecting. Okay? So as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now, I find it interesting here that the author of this book, Mark, actually identifies the person who's about to be healed. He identifies this person by name. And this is one of the few places in the New Testament where you can find someone who's on the receiving end of one of Jesus' miracles actually being named. And it's fascinating to me for a couple of reasons. First of all, the name Bartimaeus. It literally would mean for us today, it would mean Timaeus Jr. It's like saying it's little Timmy, it's Timmy Jr. Okay? The bar part means son of, and Timaeus is the father's name. So his name is son of Timaeus. That's how I come up with Timaeus Jr. And it says that he's the son of Timaeus. Mark seems to know who this man is. And I don't know if Mark knows this man before this event that's about to take place, or if he knows this man after the event took place. I suspect it's probably after the event. Because did you notice how this passage ended? This passage ended with Bartimaeus following Jesus. In other words, becoming a Christian and starting to hang out with Christians. So as he's hanging out with other Christians, I'm sure he had plenty time to share his testimony and tell everyone what it was that the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him, right? So he became renowned, probably, in the Christian community. And that might be how it is that Mark is familiar not just with Bartimaeus, but also with his father, okay? So I'm just fascinated by the fact that Mark knows this person and took the time to let us know this person's name. It also reminds me of the fact that God knows your name. You're not an anonymous face in a crowd to him. He knows your name. He knows your needs. He knows your struggles. And he calls you by name. So if God is still writing anything right now for future generations, what would he write about you? Would he put your name in there because you were willing to share your testimony about what it was that he did in your life? Are you aware of the fact that Jesus wants you to share your testimony? You've probably heard me teach on the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. That demoniac, after Jesus cast those demons out of him, he wanted to go with Jesus, right? But Jesus said, no, go and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you and how he has shown you mercy. So the Lord wants us to share our testimony. So don't be ashamed to share your testimony. Talk to people about what God has done for you. It's a very important part of the work that the Spirit wants to do here on earth to bring other people into salvation. The thinking goes like this. Some people probably knew you before you were a Christian, and those people now would see a change that has taken place in you. And they might be able to look at the new you and say to themselves, well, good grief. If the Lord can change James from what he used to be into what he is now, then he could probably do the same for me. So that's why we want to be willing to share our testimony. Don't be shy about your testimony and don't be embarrassed to share your testimony. I love when the Lord gives me opportunities like this to stand and just talk about Him, how good He is. I revel in that. I love the fact that He saved me from what I had been involved in, and He cleaned me up, and He put a testimony in my mouth, and He gives me this opportunity to speak of His goodness. So continuing here, notice again, I'm still in verse 46. It says that blind Bartimaeus was also a beggar. He's begging by the side of the road. So again, remember what I was telling you. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, this road would be crowded not only because of Jesus, but also because of the Passover. You see, all Jewish men above a certain age, I want to say the age is like 12 or 13, something like that, but all Jewish men were required to attend three festivals at the temple in Jerusalem each year. And one of those festivals is this one, the Passover. So this road is crowded with pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims, coming from wherever it is they live into the town of Jerusalem. Okay? So Jesus is among these people that's traveling there. And Bartimaeus is seated along the side of the road. He's blind. It's not like it is here in the 21st century in the United States. Right now, we have unemployment. We have Social Security supplemental insurance. We have state disability insurance. If someone has a physical inability to work, they also still have a way of receiving income from the government. Or as I like to say sometimes, from the government. But it wasn't the case in biblical times. If you were not physically able to work because of a handicap, such as being blind, chances are you had to be a beggar. And that's what Bartimaeus is. He's a beggar. He's depending upon the generosity of these many Jews who are traveling the road. Okay? Now, fortunately for Bartimaeus, a lot of Jews at the time believed in works. They believed that if they helped someone poor, that that was their key to salvation. So he's probably receiving a good amount of donations as these people are coming along the way. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So here Bartimaeus is, sitting along the side of the road, begging for alms, depending on the generosity of the Jewish pilgrims. And he hears all of this commotion, and he finds out that the man that's approaching is a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, there's a distinction here, because the name Jesus, Yeshua, in biblical times was a common name. Much the same as Joshua is a fairly common name to us today. But how many Jesus of Nazareth is there? Well, there's one. Thank you, Pat. There's one Jesus of Nazareth. And when Bartimaeus heard that the person that's coming towards him is Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Notice what he cries out. He says, Jesus, Son of David. So just from that right there, I know a couple of things. I know that Bartimaeus is a Jewish man. I also know that Bartimaeus knows Scripture. He's familiar with Scripture. Okay? How do I know these things? Well, because in the Old Testament we find out that the name Son of David is a title for the Messiah who is to come. Okay? So Bartimaeus is familiar with Scripture. But Pastor James, Bartimaeus is blind. He can't read. How is he familiar with Scripture? Well, are you aware of the fact that Scripture primarily had been conveyed through speaking in old days? They would read the Scripture and people would memorize the Scripture. As a matter of fact, for young Jewish boys, they had to memorize certain sections of Scripture by the time they were a certain age. And then if they wanted to pursue rabbinical school or things of that nature, once they got to whatever that certain age is, they had to memorize even larger sections of Scripture in order to proceed. So Bartimaeus would have been familiar with Scripture because it would have been read to him and he would have been memorizing it. So this title, Jesus, Son of David, that is Bartimaeus acknowledging that Jesus of Nazareth, not just some Yeshua, not just some random Jesus, but specifically Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. And he acknowledges that. And then look what he says. He asks the Son of David to have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He's not asking Jesus for money like he's asking everyone else who's walking by. Everyone else, he's saying, alms, give me alms, please. Be merciful and give me alms. But he just simply says, have mercy on me. From Scripture, he would also know that God is a God of love, that God is merciful, that God gives grace to generation after generation. Let me point something else out here about his name. Remember I told you Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus? Well, I didn't tell you what Timaeus means. Timaeus is an Aramaic word that means unclean. Okay? So, just by his name, because remember, in the Bible, names say a lot about who a person is. So, is his father unclean or is Bartimaeus unclean? The Bible might suggest that it's both, right? So here, Bartimaeus is saying, have mercy on me. I recognize my condition. I am unclean. I need to be forgiven, Lord. I need something that none of these other people on this road are capable of giving me. I need what only you, Jesus of Nazareth, is equipped to be able to do. So in his plea, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He is acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is pleading with his Messiah. And then verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet. Why? Why would anyone want to try to hush someone who wants the Lord in their life? Well, even here in the 21st century, we have that scenario. We have things that tell us to stop seeking the Lord. For one thing, we have our own fleshly desires. Our own fleshly desires want to come between us and Jesus. When we say to ourselves, I need to get up and read the Bible and study the Bible and fall on my knees and pray. It's your body that says, oh, I'm too tired, I got body aches, or I'm too lazy, I don't really want to do it right now. All these things are trying to tell you, don't go to Jesus. We also have this world's system. This world's system. As you were driving here to the church tonight, and for those of you that are at home, as you're driving to and from the grocery store, you can't even go past a billboard without it shouting something offensive at you that is basically saying, turn away from Jesus and come over here to this place of ill repute and do this with us. We're having a time of our lives over here, right? So all of these things conspire to shut us up from crying out for Jesus. But I left one out. There's another that conspires to keep us from reaching Jesus. Anyone? I'm sorry? The devil, that's exactly right. Satan conspires to keep us from reaching Jesus. And it's not just Satan himself. It's all of the demonic angels that are in league with him. They team up to try to keep us from reaching Jesus Christ. Now, I like Bartimaeus' response in verse 48. It says, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Whatever you're up against, when your flesh is crying out, I'm too tired, I don't want to pray, I don't want to read the book right now. I don't have time, I got other things that I need to do. When you're in the car driving to the church and a billboard tries to lure you away, it ain't going out like that. I need to get to church. I'm crying out for Jesus. When Satan is standing in your face, shouting at you, accusing you, when demonic leagues are allied against you, you need to cry out louder and louder, stronger and stronger. Set your face, set your mind, set your heart on getting to Jesus. This, with Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus is a man who clearly knew what he wanted and what he needed and did not want to let anything come between him and what he's after. And I love this because in this particular case, he's not after materialism. He's not after fame and fortune. He's after Jesus Christ. The reason I point that out is because as I was preparing my study, you know, I use other literature, and yes, I even try to watch certain things that are available to watch. And I came across some writings by a prosperity preacher who wanted to use that determination of Bartimaeus to show that you can have anything here on this earth that you want. But that may be true, but it's much, much deeper than that, and it's far more important than anything that you could hope to have here on earth. What Bartimaeus wanted was Jesus Christ, and he had set his heart and his mind and his face to go to Jesus. Look at verse 49. Bartimaeus has been crying out louder and louder and louder, right? So Jesus stood still. When you're crying out, Jesus hears you. Now, I wanted to point out to you in these verses here where it says that that Bartimaeus began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I wanted to point out to you the way this is written in the Greek. It's written that Bartimaeus continually kept saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Jesus. He's repeatedly saying it over and over and over again. And the crowd is repeatedly trying to get him to shut up. Okay? So, do you remember Jesus said, seek and you will find? Knock, it will be open to you? Do you remember all of that? Well, the way that's written, Jesus is saying, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's the same thing. That's what Bartimaeus is doing here. And when Bartimaeus did that, look in verse 49. Jesus stood still. You got his attention. And now Jesus commands the people, instead of keeping him away from me, tell him to come over here to me. Then they called the blind man, and now all of a sudden they want to act like they're all friendly with him. Hey, they're like, oh, come on, dude, be of good cheer, rise, Jesus is calling you. Never mind the fact that half a second ago you were like, dude, get to stepping. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with you, right? And throwing aside his garment, I'm in verse 50 right now. Throwing aside his garment, Bartimaeus rose and came to Jesus. His garment, this is a beggar. He doesn't have much, probably, in this life. But one thing I can tell you for sure about this garment that he would wear, that he's tossing aside, to us, it would probably look like a bathrobe, maybe a little bit longer, but it would kind of look like a bathrobe, okay? And as he's seated on the side of the road, he would have that garment spread out before him, and he would use that to receive the alms that are being tossed out to him. Okay? So that's how he's collecting the money that's being given to him. If you've ever been like on Venice Beach or in Santa Monica to see some of these buskers who make a living playing music on the sidewalks, they have a hat or something out there. It's the same type of thing. But let's take it to the next level. What is Bartimaeus giving up? Bartimaeus is giving up, yes, his little table where he collects money, but are you aware of this? He's also giving up the only thing that would shade him from the sun on a hot day. On a hot day, he can put that over his head and protect himself from the sun. At night, when he's cold, he can cuddle up in that and keep himself warm. On a rainy day, he can also put that over his head. There were no umbrellas back then, folks. So he can use this to shield himself from the elements. So this garment represents his livelihood, it represents his shelter, it represents everything that's important to Bartimaeus in the material world. And Jesus says, come over here. And he is so filled with hope, he's so convinced that he's walking away from this life forever, that he casts aside that garment. I'm not going to need it anymore. I don't know what Jesus is going to do for me, but I know he's going to do something for me, and I'm not going to need this anymore. I don't need to depend on that anymore. I now get to depend on Jesus. Do you see where I'm going with this? So throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" This is God. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that God became flesh. This is Jesus. And Jesus is the one who created everything. Jesus is the one, the Bible tells us, who sustains everything. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. Now, of all the things that Jesus has created, think about these beings that are in heaven with him right now. The Bible can't even describe how beautiful and glorious some of these beings are. But Jesus looks upon us and regards us with more love, with more favor than he does with the creatures that are right there in heaven right now. And he walks up to one of the beings that he created. I'm sorry, he called to himself one of the beings that he created. And that being responded and came to him. And instead of the being saying, "God, what can I do for you?" Jesus says to his creation, "What would you like me to do for you?" Most religions will tell you that you have to do things to please your God. We are not a religion. We are about a relationship with the Creator of all things. And the Creator wants us to know that he has done things for you, and he still wants to do things for you. Let me help try to clarify this. Think back to the book of Genesis, where God is creating everything, okay? He's creating everything. And then among the last things that he creates is what? It's man, right? Now, he speaks everything into creation, but when it's time to create man, he forms man from the dust of the earth, meaning he used his hands. Now, if you are a couple and you're expecting a baby, you prepare, right? You might paint a special room in the house for your baby. You might decorate it a certain way for your baby. And then you're doing all of that for your baby. When your baby arrives, that room is for your baby. Well, that's all of the sky. That's all of the earth. That's all of the ocean. God created all of that for man. And then put man there and said, "This is yours. This is what I give to you. This is what I have done for you." And God still wants to do for you today. Do you know what else God did for you? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is walking the earth in this passage that we're looking at. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. God came down from heaven because we cannot reach God in heaven. So God came down from heaven to rescue us, to lay down his life so that we could be reunited with him. Now, this whole thing about Bartimaeus being blind, in the Bible, you'll frequently see physical illness or physical ailments as pictures or illustrations of sinfulness. When someone is blind, it does not necessarily mean they are blind because they sin, but that blindness can be used by us as a picture of sin. So Bartimaeus, sitting there blind, he can't see the sun. At night, he can't see the stars and the planets. He can't see the beautiful mountains on the horizon. No matter how someone tries to describe it to him, he just can't see it. Well, that's all of us without Jesus Christ. If we don't have Jesus Christ, we are blind to spiritual things. And people can try to describe things to us. We can try to describe to outsiders what it is we have in Christ, praying that the Lord will open their eyes. But if they're not willing to cry out like Bartimaeus did, if they don't recognize the fact that they are blind and that they have a need to be able to see spiritual things, then they'll still stay blind. They'll never understand why we get together on a Wednesday night at church, or why we spend our Wednesday night watching church at home when we could be watching Blue Bloods or something else on TV, right? So Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Here is another proof of dedication. He calls Jesus Rabboni, which is, if you've heard the word rabbi means teacher. Well, Rabboni is like the next level up. But it's not only is it the next level up, but it's more intimate. It's more personal. It actually speaks of a relationship with the master teacher. It's like saying, "My great teacher." So in effect, he's saying, "My great teacher, that I would be able to see." So he calls Jesus his great teacher. He's just meeting him for the first time. But he's heard about him. He's heard about Jesus of Nazareth. Keep in mind, this is not the first miracle that Jesus has done. This is not even the first blind man that Jesus has given sight to. Earlier in the book of Mark, there's a blind man who receives his sight. There's a possibility that Bartimaeus has heard about that blind man who received his sight and knows that it's Jesus of Nazareth that did that. And now he's like, well, even if he doesn't do it for me, I still want whatever he's going to do for me. So he has faith. He totally and completely believes in Jesus Christ. The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." He doesn't ask for anything tangible. He doesn't ask for $1 million and a chariot. He doesn't ask for a great big house and a wife and a team of nurses to take care of him. He simply wants to see. Now, consider the spiritual aspect. We need to be able to see Jesus. We need to be able to see spiritual things. Don't look at this in the terms of what you can see with your physical eyes. If I take my eyeglasses off, I can't see. Oh, I better put these back on. I don't want to fall off the stage, right? But even with my eyeglasses off, my spiritual eyes can still see Jesus. And we want, as his children, as the ones he has already saved, we want to be praying that the people around us, the ones who we love, would have their spiritual eyes opened. So pray that someone you love would have their spiritual eyes opened, that they would see Jesus, that they would recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Made you well could also have been translated, "Your faith has saved you," the way it's written in the Greek. So your faith has saved you. I've demonstrated to you, I hope I've demonstrated to you, how Bartimaeus had faith, right? He has faith because he knows specifically Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of David. He knows the Son of David is the title for a Messiah who is to come. Now this Messiah is right here walking on the road that he happens to be sitting on. If you heard me talk on Sunday, you heard me say something like this. Jesus frequently is seen passing through. He seldom ever stays any place for long, right? This is Bartimaeus' opportunity. Is Bartimaeus going to see Jesus again? I can tell you, no. If Bartimaeus had not responded on this day when Jesus came on that road, how do I know for sure? Because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The next chapter, chapter 11, is the triumphal entry where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. So Jesus passed through. He passed on this road. It was the last time he's coming this way. If Bartimaeus had said to himself, "I'll catch him next time. I'll catch him when he comes back," because all the other pilgrims are coming back. But Jesus ain't coming back. Jesus is going on to the cross. And when Jesus gets to the cross, he's going to spread out his arms. And he's going to say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And then he's going to cast his soul into the Father's hands. And he's going to breathe his last. But before that happens, he's going to bleed. He's going to bleed a lot of blood. And that blood that Jesus bleeds was for the remission of our sins. Not just the remission of our sins, but the remission of the sins of anyone who's out there who still has not yet come to Christ. They still have a chance. But how many chances? How many more chances? Our world is crazy. Our world is topsy-turvy. We don't know when that last chance is going to be. So accept Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Recognize the fact that you are a sinner. You are blind. You have a condition that you cannot fix. Only Jesus can fix it. If Bartimaeus was blind and can fix his own blindness, I'm sure he would have done it, but he couldn't. So he cried out to Jesus. And Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Here's the point I want to make with verse 52. Jesus said, "Go your way." And then we're told in the same verse that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road. In other words, Jesus says, "Go your way." Bartimaeus is like, "You know what? Your way is my way. So wherever you go, I go. I'm with you. I've counted the cost. I've discarded my worldly goods. It wasn't much, but it was everything I had. And I discarded that in favor of walking with you. Even if you had not restored my sight, I'm happy to just put my arm through your arm and walk on this road with you." All of us have a road that Jesus wants us to walk with him. Those of us that are here in this church tonight, we, by God's grace, are walking that road with our Savior. Those who are watching online, who are part of our fellowship, are walking that road with their Savior. Now, we all know someone in our life, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, something. We know somebody who has not accepted Jesus, someone who is not walking with the Lord. We can't beat that person over the head with the Bible and force them to accept Jesus. Some religions actually do that. There are religions where they'll put a gun to your head and tell you, declare that this God is the real God and disavow your God, right? Jesus isn't like that. Jesus wants you to come to him because you love him, because you believe him. So I say to you, believe him tonight. Come to him tonight. Say to him, Jesus, Son of David, you are the Messiah. You're the only one who can help me in my condition. Save me. Give me sight, spiritual sight, that I might see. Now, before I close, again, because this passage is really kind of familiar to all of us, I wanted to point out a couple of things that help you see that these verses we did, verses 46 through 52, it's really encapsulating this entire chapter. I'm not going to go through the entire chapter, but I will point out a couple of things to you. For example, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is teaching on marriage and divorce. Okay? Really what that boils down to is commitment. Yes, a man and a woman, but it speaks of commitment. It speaks of how God is committed to us, and we are supposed to be committed to him. Well, that's how the chapter opens. Look at how the chapter closed. The chapter closed with Bartimaeus being so committed to Jesus that there wasn't even a thought of him wanting to go a different direction. He wanted to walk with his Savior. So that's one part of the encapsulation. In verses 13 through 15 of this same chapter, you'll find that Jesus is, again, milling through a crowd, and some people bring their children to Jesus. But the disciples are trying to tell the children, stay away, telling the parents, don't bring your children over to Jesus. Jesus ain't got no time for them. But what did Jesus say? Let the children come to me, right? Well, I hope you saw the parallel here in verse 48. The crowd was trying to keep Bartimaeus from Jesus. And among that crowd, some of the disciples. Didn't they learn their lesson back in these verses, 13 through 15? Right? Jesus had already told them, let them come to me. Why are you trying to block access? So if you are aware of someone who's crying out, don't block them. Right? I know how our church family is. I know you would welcome them in. I know you would invite them in. But still, there are some people out there that would want to block them. What are you watching this on YouTube for right now? Let's turn and watch the game. Right? No, they want Jesus. Let them have Jesus. Now, another thing in this same chapter, chapter 10, verses 16 through 31, show us a rich man who comes to Jesus and wants to know what he can do for salvation. Jesus essentially says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come with me. And this rich young man walks away sad because he's unwilling to do that. He's unwilling. He has a lot. Yes, he has a lot to lose. But in the overall scope of things, is it really a lot? Can he take it with him when he dies? He's going to leave it behind one way or the other. So you might as well leave it behind and walk with the man who created you. Walk with the God who gave it to you in the first place. Well, the parallel there is when I showed you that Bartimaeus walked away from his garment. That garment was everything he had. It wasn't as much as the rich man had, but it was equally as important. I told you, it represented his income. It represented his shelter, right? And he gave that away and walked with his Savior. And then another thing that is really neat in this passage, it's really, really very neat. I wrote this down so that I don't say it incorrectly. But in verses 35 through 45, James and John have a request of Jesus. They have a request of Jesus, and they are basically asking, let us sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you know what? It's not really something that I can do. It's for who it's been given to. But look, and by the way, in that set of verses here, I want you to jot this down, verses 35 through 45. Jesus asks James and John the same exact question that we just heard him ask Bartimaeus. What would you like me to do for you? Okay? And then they said, would you put us at your right hand and at your left hand? Well, when he asked Bartimaeus, only thing Bartimaeus asked for is his sight. Keep in mind, this incident with James and John was right before this event with Bartimaeus. And James and John responded by asking for places of honor at Jesus' right hand. This is the part I wrote down because I don't want to stumble over this. I get nervous when I get excited. So they wanted positions of honor at Jesus' right and left hand. Positions where they could be seen and envied, where ordinary people would have to look up to them. Okay? But the blind man's position was very different. He's not asking to be seen. He's just simply asking to be able to see. He's not asking for honor. He's just asking to be able to give honor to the one who created him. He's not asking to be superior to anybody. He's not asking to be superior to ordinary people. He's asking to become ordinary himself. He's not asking to rule over others, but he wants to join them in their experience of a normal life. So that's humility. And I know that James and John had a lot that they needed to learn. Well, guess what? You and I have a lot that we need to learn. I feel like sometimes if Jesus came and stood face to face with me, well, first of all, if I didn't collapse, if he asked me, what can he do for me? Let's see. How much is the Powerball this week, God? Right? So sometimes we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. So make sure that you're asking Jesus for the right things and for the right reasons with a humble and sincere heart. And then walk with the Lord. So again, this set of verses, verse 46 through 52, if you read the entire chapter, you'll see the entire chapter replayed in verses 46 through 52. It's like a miniature version of the whole chapter. So we'll go ahead and close with this. I'll just give you kind of a summary of what I covered because I know I ended up doing a lot of rambling. But the event we just studied, I want to remind you, it's an event that really happened. There really was a man named Bartimaeus who lived and walked on this earth, and he was blind, and he really was healed. So first, we recognize that Bartimaeus's blindness is a figure or picture of sin. I'm not saying he was blind because of sin. I'm saying that for us, his blindness is a picture of sin. We found that Bartimaeus believed in Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, anointed one sent by God. And then we saw that he cried out to the Lord for mercy, and that he persisted in his pleas despite everything around him fighting to keep him from being heard or reaching Jesus. And then the next thing we saw was that Jesus answered his call. And when Jesus answered his call, we also saw Bartimaeus cast aside everything that hindered him. Every earthly possession that he had was of no value compared to what he knew he would have in Christ. And his request, when Jesus asked him, what can I do for you? His request was specific. He didn't banter around. He didn't say, well, let me get back to you. I'm thinking about 8 or 9 things. He had a specific request, and his request was a wholesome request. He wanted spiritual sight. Yes, I know he wanted to be able to see physically, but in truth, he wanted spiritual sight. And because of that, because of his faith, he was saved, and he followed Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes. Give us eyes to see you. Father, give those whom we love who do not yet call upon you, I pray that you would give them eyes to see their need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, would you open their eyes, show them their condition, that they are blind, that they are sinners, but that you love them. They have hope because of how much you love them. Touch their hearts in a way, Lord, that they would cry out to you and that they would not let anything keep them from getting to you. Whether it's their own fleshly tendencies, lifelong habits, Lord, whether it's things of this world, Lord, or whether it's Satan himself and the legion of demons that are arrayed against them, let none of that keep them from getting to you, Lord. I love, love, love that when we cry out to you, you stop, you turn, and you pay attention. Your word says you incline your ear, you bow your ear down from heaven, and you hear us. So tonight, Lord, we pray for those whom we love who still are rejecting you for whatever reasons they have. I pray, Father, you would open their eyes and reveal yourself to them. Reveal your mercy. Show them how merciful you are. Show them how loving you are, Lord, and call them to yourself. And I pray that they would respond to that call. If that's you, Jesus is calling you. So, Father, bless our friends, our family, our loved ones who are in need of you. And, Lord, we still ourselves acknowledge that we are in need of you. So we ask for your ongoing grace towards us, that we would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, that we would continue to draw closer to you still each and every day. And we ask all of these things because you loved us and we love you and we want to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless.
And I give you all my life. I'm letting it go, a living sacrifice. No longer my own. All I am is yours. All I am is yours. And take this heart, set it on fire, shining in the dark. I wanna tell the world of who you are. All I am is yours. Take this heart, set it on fire, shining in the dark. I wanna tell the world of who you are.
I give you all my life.
I give you all my life. I'm letting it go, a living sacrifice. No longer my own. All I am is yours. All I am is yours. And I give you everything. To you I belong. Every beat of my heart, the breath in my lungs. All I am. All I am is yours.
I lift my hands.
I lift my hands up. God, I surrender all that I am for your glory, your honor, your faith. I lift my hands up. God, I surrender to you.
Let's sing that again. I lift my hands.
I lift my hands up, God, I surrender all that I am for your glory, your honor, your fame. I lift my hands up, God, I surrender to you. And I give you all my life, I'm letting it go. A living sacrifice, no longer my own. All I am is yours, all I am is yours. And I give you everything, to you I belong. Every beat of my heart, the breath in my lungs. All I am is yours, all I am is yours. All I am is yours, all I am is yours.
God bless you guys. We'll see you here on Sunday.